Oh yeah, God don't make no nobodies. You might have been a nobody, but you ain't a nobody no more. And if he did it for one person, he'll do it for anybody else. It'll stand on his word and not back down. Amen? That's how he is. That's how we laughed at the enemy when we're going through the valley. Amen? Because we know we got it made. Because I'm going to hang on to his hand. When he prepares that table for me, I'm sitting down. Let the battle rage. It doesn't matter. I don't have to worry about it. He'll still be there when I get done getting up from the table. But I'll have everything I need to overcome it. Amen? Glory to God. Hey, I got blessed. You know, Sunday, just about the last 10 minutes of the service, a Hispanic couple came in, Michael and his wife, the Duran family. They came in and they left me these baby shower invites. So they're going to be having a baby shower. He's got two little boys. Well, one kind of in the middle, and then I loved his little boy. When we had that joint church banquet, you know, it was great because I sat down right across from Michael's family. He's a little bitty kid. I mean, he might have been 7 or 8, maybe, you know. Anyway, he just big old round face, big cheeks and all that kind of stuff. Just a cute little kid. And I said, we were talking about why it was taking the food so long, because we're all so hungry, you know. And he said, I'm hungry too. And I said, doesn't anybody ever feed you at home? And he said, no, nobody ever feeds me. A little chubby cheek guy, you know. And he was so sincere about it. And his mom looked at him like that, you know. And about that time, his dad comes up, and I said, Michael, you don't ever feed this kid. And he just started laughing and laughing. Well, anyway, he's going to have a little girl. Now, there's just something that happens 2 seconds after that little girl takes her first breath, and that's when daddy gets wrapped around that itty-bitty-bitty little finger, man. I said, Michael, you ain't got a chance, man. Just enjoy it. You know, she's going to be daddy's girl. So anyway, they're having a baby shower. It's going to be at the Quality Inn. There's the little things out there in the envelopes. If you want to get one, you can do that. I mean, he just thought, well, heck, we're all one big family anyway, right? So if you want to go to that, I'll tell you what, there will be some serious food there. If we learned anything from that banquet, those folks are expecting at least 200-300 people to show up. Leon, you should have seen it. They had 4 turkey roasters, and then they had 4 of those aluminum disposable pans that were as big as a turkey roaster, plus a whole bunch of other stuff besides that. Oh, man. 2 of the roasters had ribs in it, you know, and then they had stuff for making your own fajitas. Yeah. Oh, whew. Man, you had to quit eating even though you didn't want to, you know. After a while, you just got to stop. So anyway, that's going to be really good. Hey, thanks for all the help with the socks and the underwear drive, you know, the covering their butts deal. So that's great. And don't forget, we got that new computer that we got to get for the sound booth. The old one's about to give up the ghost, and we want to change it because everything seems to tie in with a computer nowadays. So the best thing to do is to fix it before it dies. So anyway. So all that kind of stuff, and you know, between the camera, because what we got back there for a video camera is something that you'd put in a little ATM thing. This is a $50 wonder off the internet. So when we're changing the computer, we're going to change that too, because we're having troubles with it blinking on and off from for the Facebook video download and all that kind of stuff. So it's time to do that. So if you can help a little bit, everybody that gives will be more than enough, I'm sure. So that'll be great. Amen. How many of you want to live a supernatural life? Well, you live a natural life, you just get your tail feathers kicked every time you turn around, right? Because the world is unfair and life is hard. I like the old John Wayne quote. My favorite quote of all from John Wayne, it says, life is hard. It's harder if you're stupid. I could just hear him saying that, you know, and that old drawl, the old John Wayne drawl, you know. But that's true, you know, if you shoot yourself in the foot, I mean, life gets real hard real fast, you know. But anyway, living a supernatural life is normal Christianity. What we see now portrayed in front of us in the body of Christ in the church in America is not normal Christianity. You read the book of Acts, that's normal Christianity. God has this, you know, this hip man Saul of Tarsus, and I mean, he's out throwing believers in jail and having them killed and everything else, and he's on his road to Damascus, and you know, Jesus just kind of knocks him on his keister, gets his undivided attention. Now he's going into Damascus, and he picks this old guy, somebody you never hear of before or again. His name is Ananias. He didn't call some pastor or somebody in the fivefold. He called this just everyday Christian. He said, you go lay hands on him. I got work for that boy to do. So So with the laying on of hands, you know, if you read it in the book of Acts, I mean, here's Paul. All of a sudden, God changed his name from Saul to Paul. And in the middle of all of that, man, he could see again. It says it felt like scales fell from his eyes. Got baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. It wasn't long before he was just turning the devil and tying a knot in his tail. Amen. So that's the supernatural life that we are supposed to be living, okay? And I just want to go back to this because at the end of this time together, we're going to lay hands on you. That's what the whole thing is about. Because you know what? It's 90% action and 10% knowledge. Now, when I went through the Navy and through all the electrical schools and all of that, you know, it was interesting because there was people that were book smart but dumber than a sack of hammers when it came down to the real deal. You know, it's like, Larry, you know, you've been working on cars forever. It didn't take long for you to master righty-tighty, lefty-loosey. But to some of these eggheads that went through the same schools I went through, man, that was a concept that just twisted their biscuit. Man, they just weren't sure about how that worked. So anyway, I mean, you know, but we get all this learning, and now they put us on a ship. 2 years later, we go on our first submarine or aircraft carrier or whatever nuclear power plant that was on the ship, and we get there. Now we got to know what we're doing. Because if you don't know what you're doing, you don't belong on that ship, especially on a submarine. I mean, you're sucking air and somebody else could be breathing. So it was really, really, really important that you learn how to fix things. I got nominated because I was such a pain in the butt to my chief petty officer that they made me the supply petty officer, which meant I had to make sure any kind of parts that was needed to fix whatever broke, it was up to me to go get it. And they never sent me to school for it. It's a convoluted, oh my gosh, like government intelligence on steroids. And it would take me at least 2 hours or better to have the part in my hand. And this is how it worked. We had three different shifts on the submarine. Each one went 6 hours. You had an 18-hour day, basically, a rotation. Instead of 24-hour rotation, is 18. So you had 6 hours when you're on watch, running the equipment and all that stuff. And then you had 6 hours where you were to, you know, do preventative maintenance on stuff because you didn't want stuff to break when you're on a submarine. Everything's important. Everything had a backup. And we had just come out of the shipyard, so everything had been discombobulated and put back together again. So you don't know what's going to happen. And then the last 6 hours, you got to go to bed, if you're lucky. So I'd do all my things, and I'd go to bed. Next thing you know, I get woke up about an hour into my sleep, saying, this part's broke down, or this piece of equipment's broke down, and you need to get this part for it. All right. So I'd go through all that hoodoo. Not like you got any choice in the matter. You got to do what you got to do because there was nobody else to do it but me. So I got up and I went through all of that nonsense to get that part. And then by that time, the guy that, you know, was troubleshooting it while I was in bed, his 6 hours are up. Now he's going to bed. But then I'd give the guy the part for the next guys to do it because now I'm going to go on shift. I didn't get any sleep. I got about an hour. Then he'd go back there and he'd find out that wasn't a problem at all. Well, I learned real quick, like, what was going on. These old boys didn't know what they were doing. They'd open up the panel and they'd go, gee, Gomer, what do you think it is? Well, I think it's that there part right there. Let's just order one of them, and then we can go to bed, and he's got to go find a part. By that time, somebody else will fix it. So I learned real quick that the fastest way for me to get back in bed was just to walk back there, fix a stupid thing, and then go to bed. Right. The heck with the parts, guys. Because usually it was like a loose wire or something simple or whatever, you know. And so I'd get back there and I had to figure it out. Well, it's the same thing with us in this supernatural side of life. If you're using the Word of God like it's intended, you don't have to go around and around and around the mulberry bush, you know, trying to get this thing to turn around. In fact, if you're living a supernatural life, the majority of things that the enemy will send against you, God will just lead you around it. You won't even know it was there. Yeah. But in the times where you got to face up the enemy, well, that's all right. Because if you got a supernatural, if you want a supernatural lifestyle, you got to make a quality decision right now. Because there is nothing in this, there's nowhere in the universe where you get something for nothing. Ever. I know the Democrats want us to think it's true, but it ain't true. So what are you going to do? If you're going to make this quality decision that this is not going to be an option for me anymore, it's like the old boy said, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Well, you got to start getting yourself serious about your walk with God. And I'm just recapping what we've shared over the last 6 weeks. I mean, you got to pay the price to pursue all that Jesus bought and paid for in His death, burial, and resurrection. So as we get that through knowledge, as we develop in the Word of God, our faith gets stronger, our expectations begin to grow, and we're not going to settle for the old ways. It's amazing how many branches of Christianity in America has just up and decided that the days of miracles are long past. That faith is all about, you know, just accepting life the way it is, and grace is about miserably tolerating a situation. Like Paul with the thorn in the flesh. Well, I sought the Lord 3 times. In fact, there's one translation of the Bible that kind of gets off course real bad when it says, well, you know, God just said that's just too bad. Suck it up, cupcake. Put your big boy pants on. Take it on the chin. Well, that ain't what God said. He said, my grace is sufficient. And grace is God's operational power. In other words, Paul, don't come to me whining about what the devil's doing. You take him on. I'll back you up. You know, it's easy to get in a pity party sometimes when things start going wrong, because usually it comes in threes or more. You know, one thing happens and another thing happens and another thing happens, and you're like, ah, I can't do this, you know, but hey, God's still on the throne. One thing I know for certain, He's not sitting up in heaven eating Rolaids worried about your situation. So why are you? The Bible says he that had a man with understanding, I love this in the Amplified, it says, a man with understanding has a cool spirit. Get you an Amplified Bible in Proverbs, you'll see that. That is like a cool spirit. Makes me think of the Jamaican bobsled team, man. Cool runnings, you know. It's all right. Going to be all right. John 6:28 says, and then he said to them, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. Now you first read that and your mind goes, that's it? Yeah, because if you got that, everything else falls into place. Because believing is not, you know, a state of mind. Believing is a state of action. Faith is always on the move. Faith is a verb. Faith is doing something. In John 14:12, Jesus said this. He said, most assuredly I tell you that he who believes in me, the works that I do, he'll do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. That's normal Christianity. It's supposed to be. Mark 16:17 says, these signs will follow them that believe in my name. They'll cast out devils. Get out of here. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Divine protection, all of that. When it talks about drinking deadly poison, by the way, back in those days, that was the fastest way to get rid of your trouble. You just poison somebody. Nobody knew you did it, so you get away with it. Doesn't matter with a Christian. If you're walking with God, it isn't going to bother you a bit. But go over here to Luke 4, because expectation is a big deal. Expectation is a very big deal. Because if you come expecting nothing, guess what you're going to get? Nothing. Yeah. But if you come believing that God's going to do a work in your life, I mean, you need to be doing this. You need to get yourself all screwed up tight when you're on your way to church, man. I tell you what, when I went into Rhema, I'll tell you, I pulled into the parking lot. I'm working myself to a frazzle. And I'm just running as fast as I can to keep up. And I'd get there and I'm pulled in the parking lot. I had an old Ford pickup truck. Didn't even have any air conditioning, which in summertime in Tulsa is really a challenge. But I'd sit there early in the morning while everybody else is parking their cars and walking up. I had me about a 6-page, you know, handwritten 8.5 by 11 sheets of all these confessions. And I just started reading them off. And I just started reading them off about like this. And then after a while, I'm reading them about like this. And then after a while, I'm reading them like this. And people are walking by the truck going. I'm getting my expector up. Because I'm not there just to waste my time. I'm not there just to let these two paddles on the side of my head do all the thinking for me and listening for me. I want to hear with my spirit. I want to get into the realms of the things of God, into the supernatural, because I need to receive supernatural revelation because of where I knew I was going to be going from there. So important for us to do that. Expectation is a big deal. Luke 4 says this, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and all the eyes of everybody there was looking at, was fixed on him, and he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Well, that's some big talk. Acceptable year of the Lord. That's a year of jubilee where all your debts are forgiven. You sold your property off, or somebody did, 49 years ago, you get it all back. If they did improvements on it, it's yours that way too. Everything was restored back to you. But you know what? Jesus was reading from the Word of God. And you're a fool if you just read that and say, yay, Jesus. Because we can do the same thing. Did you know the Spirit of the Lord's upon you? Anybody here born again? Yes. Where's the Holy Ghost? Take your hand like this, put your finger and go just like that. He's on the inside of you. Same Spirit that was in Jesus. Because everything Jesus did supernatural was done by the Holy Ghost. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He left all of his glory in heaven. He just showed us how we're supposed to do it. So when we see ourselves in here, you need to be seeing yourself in the Word of God. When he says this is who you are, you need to start declaring it. This is who I am. In that Power Pack book, there's a whole lot of scriptures in there of who I am as a new creature in Christ. I think what happens as soon as you get born again, the number one job of the Holy Ghost is to reintroduce you to your new self. Because you are not the same person you were. The old man's crucified. We're going to live by the new man, and the Word of God defines who that new man is and what that new man's supposed to be doing. That changes your expector. You got to take that belief and get started doing it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I read that, that's my confession. For he's anointed me to preach the gospel. I remember one old boy, I was talking to him, he was pastoring a church, he said, I just want the people that, really going to tithe and do good things. I said, guess what, Bubba, you ain't going to get what you want. I only want the 20, 30-something crowd, that's the new church. I'm thinking, dear Lord, did somebody, bump you way up above the pay grade you're at right now? Because my Bible says God puts people in the church as it pleases him. Amen. You going to run the old people off? You won't have it just your way? Wow. No, but I'm going to say what God says about it. I'm going to get started where I'm at doing what God's called me to do. He says, I'm preaching the gospel to the poor. Sometimes, after starting a church, I was wondering, Lord, am I going to get only David's mighty men? Back before David's mighty men, they were the beat, they were the broke, disaffected. They were a mess. Before you know it, they were giant killers. But they didn't come through the door that way. Well, here's the thing. Do you see yourself saying this out loud, declaring it with the expectation and confidence that that's exactly what's going to happen? Because your passion is going to determine your success in the supernatural as well as in the natural. If you do not have a passion for what you're doing, first time you stumble and fall, first time you disappoint somebody, first time you just do something real stupid, well, I guess that ain't for me. It's like the old saying, if you first you don't succeed, well then probably skydiving isn't for you. But you know what? It's all right. Because I know what the truth of it all is, that anything worth doing for Jesus is worth doing poorly till you get it figured out and do it better. Amen. He's not calling the people that are qualified. He's qualifying the people he's calling. You're a mess. He knows it. I love this part. You know what? When you got born again, God factored in your stupidity into everything there. So don't worry about it. He knows it's there. You're not surprising him. You'll never see Jesus up in heaven going, man, did you see that, Father? What are we going to do with him? Never going to happen. But you got to have the passion that'll pursue through it. I tried for a while back when I was young, and you couldn't really get a job anywhere if you're a teenager or something. Just get into sales. Boy, I always want salesmen. I tried sales, but you know what? If you're going to be a salesman, you got to be willing to have 100 doors slammed in your face before you get one that opens. And if you can do that, then sales is for you. It wasn't for this cowboy, not at that age anyway. About the third time, I like, forget it. I'm out of here. I mean, I sold the grit and newspaper, magazine, whatever it was. Stood at the doorway at the old AMP, you know, and was selling them things off, freezing myself half to death. But you got to do what you got to do, because your passion is going to determine your success, because you got to be able to take every stumbling block and use it like a stepping stone and refuse to quit. Well, I laid hands on somebody one time and they didn't get healed. So I've told a whole lot of people about Jesus and they didn't get saved. Does that mean the gospel's no good? No, it just means they got a free will in the matter. But I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I'm not just going to go through the motions. It's either all or nothing. Jesus is not a wimpy Savior. He is not. He's not that little baby in the manger. He was, but he isn't no more. And the Bible says that as he is, so are we in this world. How is he right now? He's a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Read the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Boy, that'll curl your hair. John's in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and next thing you know, he was freaking out, face down on the ground. So it's a strong man's gospel, strong woman's gospel. And you got to be strong. The Bible says, you know, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent are going to take it by force. You going to hang on to that thing? Like an old junkyard dog hangs on to a bone? You better. Because the devil's going to try to do everything to get you to let go of it. Just so you know. And you shouldn't be shocked when it happens, because it happens to everybody. It ain't like you're somebody special or something like that, no. Daniel 7:25, we looked at this, it says, and he will defy the Most High and oppress and wear down his holy people. So you got to be ready for that opposition. You got to be ready for the accuser of the brethren to use other people to come to try to break you down, because he can't stop you. He cannot stop you. He cannot stop you. But he can convince you to stop yourself. And he's really good at it. 2 Corinthians 10 tells us that we've got to be a warrior in fighting back against the enemy's mental attacks and lies that comes in. We got to be ready to look at fear and recognize it for what it is. Well, I was just a little worried. No, you weren't. You're scared. Knock it off. God didn't give you that spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit. I think of it as a personality, a spiritual personality. The enemy's like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith. Fear comes knocking on the door. You better reply with power and love and a sound mind. The devil should pay a price anytime he tries to mess with you. Because you're not giving up and you're not wallowing around in self-pity and you're not just throttling it back a little bit because, boy, the going's getting rough. No. No. Yeah. Stick it in overdrive. I can remember we had a 14-foot speedboat, you know, big old 65 Johnson on the back. Anyway, I had my in-laws, had the front seating in the bow, then the window, and then everybody else back behind that. My father-in-law was sitting up front. We were going through the chain of lakes over by Coldwater Lake. And so you're throttling it up and you're going across the lake doing good, but you come to these channels because it's a lake channel, lake channel, lake channel. Anyway, so you throttle it down right as you're going into the channel at about the same time where there's a boat coming the other way, and he's throttling it up. So I throttled it down because it's a no-wake zone. About that time, the bow went down just as the other guy hit the gun. And boy, I tell you, my father-in-law was sitting in the front of that boat. There must have been 30 gallons come over the front of that boat all over him. There ain't nothing he could do about it either. All I could do was laugh and laugh. No fear, because fear is the number one tactic to get you to doubt yourself. And a double-minded man doesn't get squat from God. Amen? Amen. Everything is rooted and grounded in love. And I'm not talking about the gee, I like puppy dogs love. I'm talking about agape love, which is brutal and relentless and absolute. It's a crazy love to love somebody that hates your guts. It's a crazy love that hangs on the cross and said, Father, please forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Yeah. I don't care how ugly they get. I'm not changing. Because faith works by love, and I need every bit of faith I can get. I learned a long time ago that you can't just get riled up when somebody's getting in your grill. Lord, can I just bust them in the nose one time? I'll pray for their healing afterward. That never worked. I never punched them in the nose, but, you know, it's just, I got this big, you better not, kind of on the inside of his face. So I took it. But let's look over here in Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. In Ephesians 3:14, everything's rooted and grounded in love. Now, I love the Ephesians 1 prayer, but now I'm hooked on the Ephesians 3 prayer. It's incredible. It says, for this reason, Paul's praying this for all the Christians in Ephesus. It's a Holy Ghost-inspired prayer. That means this puppy is like top shelf, number one. The best kind of prayer you can pray is one that's in the Bible that's a prayer. Because the Holy Ghost had Paul pray this for Christians. And remember, God never changes and he's no respecter of persons. So if he said, Paul, you pray for Christians here, I can pray for Christians the same way. In fact, I can pray for myself the same way. And he goes on and he says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, and in the flesh don't like walking in love. Flesh gets upset. But you be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that's working in us. What's the power? What you've been talking about? Love. The power of love. It's the single greatest power in the universe. Love spoke everything into existence. Love took a dead man carrying the sins of the whole world and whipped every devil in hell. Rose again with the keys in his hands. Made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And gave it to us. That's love. According to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So be it. So the Holy Spirit interaction strengthens us and causes this agape love to take root on the inside of us. This is not a natural thing. This is not something you learn. This is something you experience. This is something where you're going through your life and, you know, and I wish it wasn't so, but more times than not, it's right after you crash and burn and God restores you, that you finally have that aha moment when you realize that this love ain't ever going to give up on you. Man, when I first got saved, I just about wore out 1 John 1:9 because I kept doing that same stupid thing over and over and over again. I was so relieved when I read in the Gospels where Peter said, God, I'll just forgive him 7 times. Jesus said, nope, 7 times 70 in one day for the same stupid thing. Boy, it gave me a lot of hope. I was about halfway there, but that meant I wasn't going to get there, you know, because, God, I'm so sorry I messed up again. That love is what brings us back, and that love is what elevates us to be seated with Jesus in heavenly places. Knowing this limitless love introduces us to Jesus and His power. See, that exceedingly abundantly power is when it starts working in us is what glorifies God, the supernatural life. You ought to just call it up on the internet, Todd White. This guy's a maniac. He was the biggest dirtball you ever saw in your life. Living a wasted life, supernaturally saved from it all. Should have been dead a number of times. And now God's just using him. And I mean, he's like this big old hippie dude with dreadlocks and everything else. I mean, and he just comes up to people and prays for them, they get healed. Tells them about Jesus, so full of the love of God. It's powerful. Because it's not about 90% knowledge and 10% action. It's you know, 90% action and 10% knowledge. Just like me and that as an electrician on this every, it wasn't about knowledge, it was about, you know, I want to get to sleep. So I got up and I fixed the thing. I just got in there and did it. Before I knew it, I was pretty good at it. Same thing with God. Start where you're at. Don't wait till, well, I don't have a seminary degree. I ain't fivefold minister. I can't do this, can't do that. Everything I do is messing up. Nonsense. Set your heart to it, and God will lead you through it. This love will supercharge every part of your life. John G. Lake put it this way. He said, do not imprison the anointing of Jesus that's in you. Let him live. Let him manifest himself. Let him find vent through you. Then we talked about the motivational gifts. That's where you get started. Romans chapter 12. You don't have to be some supernatural rocket scientist to get started doing this, because what are we doing? We're talking about, you know, mastering, you know, speaking encouragement and comfort. Anybody can do that. Would you be surprised how many Christians look like they've been baptized in, you know, in pickle juice and sucking on a sour apple? You know, they just look like they've had the worst day of their life because they're holy now. Yes, God. Wait a minute. You've been with Jesus, there's joy there, man, and that's contagious. Amen. Speak encouragement and comfort, acts of random kindness. Humbly share what you got, what you've learned. Motivate other people to get started, to take action. You know, give discreetly, leading with a servant's heart. Yeah, anybody can do this stuff. And it's interesting, when you start taking on all of the motivational gifts of Romans chapter 12, you begin to find yourself. Because you're going to find that you're really good at least one of them. And the more you do it, the more fun it is. And the more you do it, the more results you get. Because it's just like a kid learning how to walk. Yeah, you start out with, you know, you're learning to ride a bicycle. You start out with training wheels. That's all right. You don't stay there for long. But you got to get started somewhere, because like I said, it's 90% action, 10% knowledge. Okay? Think about it. Peter and John, Temple Gate, beautiful, right? Just had the day of Pentecost, all that stuff. Woohoo! But these guys were not the sharpest knives in the drawer. The Bible says they go out to the mount where Jesus ascended back to heaven. And the Bible says, and then they believed. It's like 3.5 years of death, burial, and resurrection, and now you figuring it out? They didn't even have the New Testament. He goes up to the temple gate, beautiful, says, what I got, I'm going to give to you. Grabbed him by the hands and jerked him to his skinny little feet, and that old boy went off a-running. In the name of Jesus, be healed. He didn't have a seminary degree. He just trusted in what Jesus said. That meant it is all it takes. And he was willing to get started. And God showed up, and he loves showing up when somebody's believing him. Amen. So you got to. Here's the next part. You got to be tied into God's line of communications. You got to master the lifestyle of a prayer warrior. Get serious about it. If you knew what prayer would produce, you'd be praying a whole lot more than you're praying right now. Don't ever let up. Pray the word right back to Him. I love praying the Psalms back to God. Get into it. Have some fun with it. How about tongues? That's our supernatural language from heaven, where we can pray mysteries, build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Speaking in the tongues of men and angels, it's a supernatural level of communication, straight from your spirit to the Spirit of God. And then prophetic speaking, when you hear the voice within the voice, when God is speaking to you, that's prophetic. And the prophetic voice is when you're speaking, when you confess the Word of God over your life, that's prophetic too. Prophetic, as we learned, is not about foretelling the future. That's a very rare occurrence. It's a part of the prophetic office. But really, it's about building yourself up. God said that, you know, Spirit of the Lord's upon me. You ought to be, that's prophecy. Speak that over your life. Watch what happens. We talked about dreams and visions, the word of knowledge. Different things like that, discernment, you know, the gift of discernment, so knowing what spirit is in operation in the middle of all this. You ever get around some people and it's like, something not right here? You got to listen to your spirit. It's not the gift of suspicion. That's the evil stepsister of discernment, okay? Don't go there. I'll never forget, we were baby Christians at the time. And they had this whole kind of, we was going to a full gospel church, and this one gal, I tell you what, I'll go through your house and I'll find out where the demons are hanging out. And we didn't know any better, so we said, yeah, come on over. Boy, she got that old crazy looking squint in one eye, and she'd look at her and go, boy, I tell you what, them owls, they're evil. Now, you know, as I'm looking at it now, I'm like, what was I thinking? Who created the owls? And I mean, frogs and several other things were just evil. Evil! Evil! So give it the old evil eye and get it out of here. Crazy stuff, man. Masquerading as Christianity. That's a gift of suspicion, man. That ain't discerning of spirits. But when you know in your spirit something ain't right, or you know in your spirit, boy, that was a God encounter. That was great. God brings somebody across your path, a divine appointment, and you know it's God doing it, jump in, both feet. In the deep end, amen? So it's important to never stop learning and doing what you found. For it builds the inner fortresses that protect your soul from attacks. It helps you to be more consistent. And you got to celebrate every victory continually. Remember David with the lion and the bear, and he's looking at Goliath going, hey, no problem, man. The God that helped me wipe out the lion and the bear, he's going to be there for me here. He ran at the giant. Never run at your giant with your mouth closed. Like what Mark Hankins said about it. He wrote a whole book on that. No, David's talking covenant talk. Goliath is trash talking. Guess who won? Yeah, the one who got backed up. You got to be able to receive instruction and correction graciously. You got to remember that the God is the same God that's on the mountaintop with you than when you're going through the valley. And you always got to remain under authority. Yeah. And I'm not talking, well, I'm under the authority of God. Well, have you got somebody with a pulse on the earth right now that you're under authority to? If not, you're not under authority. Well, they're not perfect. Well, neither are you. But you got to remain there. You got to reject any excuses and own your own shortfalls. When you mess up, just claim it. Deal with it. Put it in the past and move on. So it's important to be ready in season and out of season. To never get bound up by your imperfections is a reason for not stepping out. And so tonight I want to just do what I said I was going to do. I want to lay hands on it. If you want to have the impartation for the supernatural to begin to start working in your life, I'll lay hands on you today. I'll anoint you with oil today. But you got to promise me this one thing, that you're going to step up. Now, I don't expect you're going to hit a home run every time you get up to the plate. But you're going to swing a whole lot harder than you used to, right? Amen. None of this half-hearted. None of this put your big toe in the shallow end of the pool. You're going to get up every morning and say, Lord, here am I, send me. Because the Spirit of the Lord's upon me because He's anointed me. Preach the gospel. I like what St. Francis of Assisi said. He said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. I like that. I think he had both oars in the water. But anyway. If you want what I just said, come on up. I'm going to pray over you. Just kind of line up here. I'll get some oil here. Thank you, Jesus. Want it operating in your life a little more than what it already is? It's just a matter of grabbing hold of what Jesus said. Now, the amazing thing about the laying out of hands is because it's called the law of contact and transmission, where you can release your faith. Come on up just a little more. It's a good place for you to release your faith simply when I lay hands on you. God does all the work, but you got to take your foot off the brake. Say, okay, Lord, this is mine, and I want it right now. I believe with all of my heart that when hands are laid on me, An impartation, the anointing will begin to be activated in my life. And I thank you for it right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just to tell you, the anointing's already on you. We're just going to learn how where the on-off switch is, all right? So, Father, right now, I just anoint you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Receive. In the name of Jesus, it's yours. In the name that's above every name, I release that anointing in your life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, and we know the hope of our calling. What is the exceeding greatness of your power to usward who believe? That resurrection power. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we receive and we thank you for it. Abba, Father, I pray that you would use my brothers and sisters today, before the day is over, certainly within the next 24 hours, to touch somebody with that supernatural power that's working in them now. Because the Spirit of the Lord's upon them. For you've anointed them to change lives. To tell everybody, show and tell everybody what Jesus is all about. From healings to restorations to hope, to joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. So we thank you, Lord. Let it bubble up and let it go forth. Everywhere we go, Lord, touching lives and making a difference. We thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Woo-hoo. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Isn't that what T.D. Jakes says? I think he does it better than I do. Kind of hard to compete with that voice. Get ready, get ready, get ready. If you're a tenor, it doesn't sound the same. But anyway, Father, we just thank you today that it's all about the delight of being with you. And as we delight ourselves in you, Lord, you open doors that no man can close. You close doors nobody else can open, Lord. You direct our steps. And you fill us with so many good things, Lord. Every good and precious gift. We just thank you for every opportunity to prove that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Now go give the devil a headache.